Blog Talk Radio.
At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything, even a UFH2O.
That's really not good.
It happened August 14th, 2008, and we covered it. Talk to Farmers. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
It makes me very happy tonight that my family is here singing and praying with me. And at this time, I would like to introduce to you my brother, Reverend Cecil Franklin.
It is my task to have a few comments. And I thought about a passage of scripture, the Gospel according to St. Mark, 16th chapter and the 15th verse, where we are challenged to go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. You know, there is a unique advantage in preaching the gospel using the vehicle of song. For songs have the advantage of being packaged and wrapped in universal appeal. Songs are not limited by natural or human boundaries. The gospel through song is universally comfortable, for it is not hindered by local, state, or national boundaries, not hindered by racial, economic, political, or religious preferences. Songs are clothed with the ability or capacity to successfully and confidently meet the challenge of the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. Songs are in a position to confidently answer that challenge. And therefore the gospel through song accepts the challenge and responds joyfully, praising the name of Jesus. And therefore we sing, oh how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. We come tonight carrying on that same tradition. We come not blazing new trails or pioneering new paths. We come treading the same familiar tracks, telling the world that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We come telling the story of Calvary. We come telling the world how God hung, how he bled, and how he died, and how he was resurrected. We come telling the world of the joy of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we come once again to dedicate our lives to continuing to sing the songs of Zion. We thank God for Aretha and for every individual that responded in making this effort possible. Her Christian commitment to carry the gospel to every creature is unquestionable. And you know, we all have our favorite songs of praise and celebration. I don't know what yours may be. It may be, I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Long as I live while trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. Your song might be, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, where shall I go? It may be peace of heaven as I go through this wilderness here below. Why don't you guide my feet in peaceful ways? Turn my midnight, turn them in the day. Oh, Lord. Yeah, Lord. I don't know what your song may be, but my song is this. If when you give the best of your service, baby, come, don't be dismayed if friends don't believe you. He'll understand. Lord will say, well done. Oh, yes, he will. Yeah, well done. Do it all.
Hey, good evening and welcome to a product of WBNN. This is The Work Is Done. I am your host, Pastor Kevin Perry, on air now, and we're broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. Now, if you want to be a part of this awesome show tonight, call 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. This is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Once again, this is The Work Is Done with Pastor Kev, and you know, I pray, as always, that, you know, since the last time we were together, that everybody has just been blessed. Everybody's been healthy. Nobody's experienced any hardships or loss. But that's part of the thing that we're going to talk about tonight. You know, tonight we're talking about unlimited grace. You know, grace, when you look at grace, grace is really God's ability to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. That's one part of it. The other part of it is his ability to guide us and help us through his compassion through our hard times. You know, I think about some of the hard things and the hard times that I've gone through in my life, you know, because, you know, growing up, the only son to my parents, growing up in a house full of women, you know, there were some hardships that I had to endure not having a father figure in the home, you know, going to school and being picked on by bullies because I had nobody to teach me how to defend myself. I had to learn all of that on my own. And then as you get older, you start to take on the mindset of, you know, because my dad wasn't around, you know, I went through this period in my life where I was angry. I was angry at everybody. I was angry at my dad. I was angry at the world. I was just angry. Through that, I didn't understand it then, but God's grace was on my life, guiding, directing, and leading me to a place where I am now, actually. And, you know, as I look back over my life, even some of the decisions that I've made, I realize that had it not been for his grace, I would not be here today, because there were decisions that I made, there were choices that I made that were not for my benefit, that were not for my good. But God's grace was able now to prevent those choices from being, I should say, not being so detrimental to my life where my life ended. And that was all because of his grace. And see, a lot of times people take God's grace for granted, because you think that you can do what you want to do, live how you want to live without consequences. And that's just not true. There are always consequences. You know, there were things that, you know, I paid for the way I was living. But like I said, it wasn't to the point where it was fatal. It wasn't to the point where, number one, I lost my life, I lost my limbs, you know, but there were a lot of things, there were a lot of times where I really took life for granted. I took God's grace for granted. And, you know, and as we talk about this tonight, I want you guys to feel free to call in with your comments and how you feel about what we're talking about tonight, God's grace. And, you know, one of the things that I realized when, you know, I read the story, the account of Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, Paul was going through some things. He was going through some things, and he was praying to God for God to deliver him. You know, he described it as a thorn in his side. And it, let me just read this to you. It says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Man, that right there is so powerful. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. That's an excellent description, or that's an excellent way of explaining what grace is. It's God's strength that he provides to us in our weakest moment. How many of you have ever had that moment in your life where, man, your back was against the wall, you had, it looked like you had no hope, you didn't know which way to go, which direction to turn, you just thought all hope was lost. You were at that, as a matter of fact, you may have felt that you were at the lowest point that you could ever reach. But that's where God's strength, his grace, is made perfect. You know, I remember a time in my life, you know, I was in between jobs, I was transitioning, and I thought I had one job locked down. It turned out I didn't have that, and I had left a good job. I left a good job to go to another job, found out that there was a mix-up in some paperwork. I couldn't stay where I was, but I had left where I had been, and I didn't know if they were going to allow me to come back. And, man, I was just in that place. God, if you don't show up right now, I don't know what's going to happen. But he showed up. Why? Because his word is true. He said he'll never leave you or forsake you. So, you know, I know I'm not the only one who has had that kind of experience. And some of us, you know, have had experiences where you felt as though this is it. I have no choice to trust God. If God doesn't do it, it won't get done. And this is why I believe that here in the United States, one of the reasons why there's such a disconnect, a turnoff for people in this country as far as church is concerned, because there's such a lack of miracle signs and wonders in today's churches here in America. But there's a reason for that. The reason that you don't see a whole lot of miracle signs and wonders, the reason why you see so many false prophets popping up all over the place and false leaders and all this stuff, is because there is a hunger for God here, but at the same time, He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because we aren't really truly seeking God. We're seeking the things that we think God can provide. And we'll go to anybody who's going to tell us, oh, I heard this word and I got this word that the Lord told me to give you. And people have become so gullible. And then the other part of that is we have so many options that God is not at the top of that list. God is not at the top of the list of our options. So that's why we don't see his grace. We don't see him moving. And we don't see his spirit moving at all. There are so many churches in this country, and a lot of them are just dead churches. People just go out of habit, out of tradition, and they just go, and there's no power. But when you look at, you know, churches in Africa and things like that, then you see these miracles happening. You actually see people being raised from the dead. You actually see crippled people walking. You actually see the stuff. You know why? Because over there, they don't have the options that we have over here. Their only option is God's grace. So they will walk 5, 10 miles to go to a church service. They'll walk. You look at people in this country, if it's raining outside, we're not going to church today because it's raining. Oh, it's snow outside, we're not going to church today. You got options. And because you got options, you don't really see God's grace moving. And it's not until you eliminate those options and put God at the top of that list. See, over here, we don't have to worry about doctors. A lot of us got insurance. And even if you don't have insurance, you go to the hospital anyway. So what, they going to send you the bill? You ain't worried about that bill. You ain't going to pay it no matter what. You ain't even trying to pay that bill. But see, when you get over there and those countries that don't have those options, when they make God their option. It's just like, you know, when Jesus was teaching and the four friends, you know, they tried to get their paralytic friend who's laying on the mat. They tried to get him to Jesus. When they saw that they couldn't get in there, they went up on the roof and opened the roof and laid and lowered him down through the roof to get to Jesus. Why? Because, man, listen, this is your only option. Your only option of getting healed is to get to Jesus. Your only option to experience his grace of healing is if we go up here on this roof and lower you down. That was the only option that they had. So we're going to continue this conversation. When the work is done, unlimited grace, God's unlimited grace, and we'll be back right after this.
I'm going to call back to the microphone at this time, Irma, Brenda, and Carolyn. Let us say amen as they come.
Yeah.
And we're back with The Work Is Done. And we want to thank the Internet, International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O, who's playing the music tonight. We're back with Unlimited Grace here on The Work Is Done, broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria, product of WBN. And you can call that tonight, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to be a part of this conversation tonight. We're going to go to the phone lines. We have a caller. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Pastor. It's Jerry, honey. How are you?
Hey, Jerry. How are you? Good
I'm
to
okay.
hear from you tonight. I pray all is well with you.
Thank you. My throat might still sound weird, but I wanted to share something with you. So
you're right.
talking about, you know, like church and other countries, and they walk miles, and you're right, you know. My brother's father-in-law, he's an amazing, amazing man of God. They live in Spanish Harlem in New York. He's now 92 years old. He had COVID, was in a nursing home. I mean, the guy almost died, right? He gets out within 3 weeks. He says, I don't care. He gets his cane, and he walks 4 blocks to the church that Sunday. But what I really wanted to share was why I think a lot of people don't make the effort. Something just happened recently, and I can't believe you're talking about this, because God put something in my way. My daughter put a post about praising God, you know, and faith and his undying love, and all these people were commenting. And it just happened to pop up that I saw. I couldn't believe it. And this young woman said she used to do drugs. She was homeless. She was a mess. And there was a church a block away from where she pretty much lived on the streets. She decided to go in one Sunday, and she's in the back of the church. Do you know that at the end of the service, two women, older women, came up to her and said, this is not the place for you, under a bridge is.
Wow.
And she posted this, and she said, and I've heard, Pastor, I've heard these stories because I'm a recovery coach. And she said, that was the first and last time I walked into a church. Well, you know me. I immediately private messaged her, and I said, sweetheart, listen, first of all, let me send you my book on recovery. Second of all, I'm Tiffany's mom, so you can trust me. I don't know her, you know, at all. She's not a good friend of Tiffany's, just, you know, a friend on Facebook, acquaintance. And I said, and then we're going to pray. So she should be getting my book any day. And I sent her the photo and said, it's coming. And I said, and would you please call me? Here's my number so we could talk about that incident. And she said, Jerry, absolutely. And, you know, Pastor, I hear stories about that a lot, that a lot of the churchgoers don't make a lot of people feel welcome, that these people are already broken. And that makes them turn away, unfortunately, from God, because a lot of them think, well, that's God in there.
Right.
It's not. Right.
And you know what? That is so powerful. And that's why, you know, we talk about these things when I hear people say that they're church hurt. And I have to make that correction. You are not church hurt, because the church did not hurt you. People in the church hurt you.
Yes.
I'm part of the church. The church is the body. I never hurt you. So don't say your church hurt. Say your people hurt. You were hurt by people in that church. And that is so true, because people look at the outer appearance. That's why I made that comment earlier about you have all these churches, but you see no power of God, because people just go out of form and fashion. They go out of tradition. This is where grandmama went. This is where mama went. So this is where we go. And they go in there. They shout. They holler, scream, run around the church, do all this stuff, all this traditional stuff that they see. But there's no power of God moving in that church.
Right.
And it's because the people who need God, the people who are after God, who are hungry for him, who are out there in the streets looking for the love of God, going to these places, and instead of getting the love of God, they get kicked out right back into the world. That's why people say, I get more love in the street than I do in some of these churches.
You know,
so why should
I
come to
you
your church?
when I hear you preach, I sense and feel the love and God in you. You know, God bless you for that. There's a pastor, Pastor Joe Foch, on Filma Avenue in Philly. Do you know of this man?
No.
Okay. Well, check him out, Google him, whatever. I went to Israel with my father, with this man, about 25 years ago now, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that was where my dad accepted Jesus, in the tomb in Israel, in Jesus's tomb. But this man was a drug addict, Pastor Joe Foch. He was a drug addict back in the day. The guy's probably now 70 years old, and he always wore jeans and a Hawaiian button-down shirt, and he sat on a stool on the stage. This church held 3,000 people. They did three sermons a day. And I'll never forget this. He got up on the pulpit, and he said, "Everyone raise your hand. How many of you have been to more than one sermon today?" A lot of people. There were people standing around the church. Right, they couldn't sit. He said, "Please only come once. We need people to be able to come and sit." He had, and I'm not, listen, this is a separate subject, but everyone has their own ideas, but it's between the person and God. Transvestites felt comfortable. They would sit in the back of the church, but they were there. You know, I mean, it's God's house. Everyone needs to know that they can come to God's house.
Right.
And he's an amazing pastor, and I feel the same about you. You're an amazing pastor.
Well, I thank you for that. Thank you so much. And it's only because I believe in what the word says. Don't judge. Don't look at the outer appearance. And how is it that people are going to get healed?
Right.
How do people get delivered from their brokenness? See, this is what Jesus said. He said, "I've come because it's the sick who are in need of the doctor."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you pastor a church and you got 500 people in there who are saved, but you don't want to let the one person in who's not saved because they're a drug addict, they're transgender, they're this or they're that. You don't want to minister to them. So you're really not doing the work of God. You're not extending his grace.
Amen, amen, amen. That's
so,
right.
You know, I want to thank you, Jerry, for calling in. Much love to you, my sister. You know, keep doing what you're doing. Because what you're
doing what
is
you're
just
doing,
as powerful.
I love you and thank you and God bless you and your family.
All right. You as well. Thank you for calling. And we're back here with The Work Is Done. Listen, these are the things that we need to be talking about tonight. This is why I need you to call in, because there are so many people out there who feel as though God's grace is not for them because of what they're doing, because of where they are in life. Because of things that they've done. And you got to know that God's grace is for you. It's for you, and it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. So listen, we're going to take another break with the Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting legend, Brother O, who's going to come with a track, and then we'll be back with The Work Is Done. Yes, God is able to carry you through because of his grace. We're back here with the work is done. And, you know, I want to comment on what Sister Jerry was saying when she called in. And I believe she said it was her father, I believe, who just got out of the hospital, 91 years old, grabbed his cane and walked 4 blocks to church. And I don't even know if y'all understand how powerful that is, because that's right in line with what I'm saying. You know, when you develop that hunger for God, you are not going to let anything or anyone stand in your way or stop you from getting what you need. But ain't it funny how, you know, you can say, man, I want this car. And you'll go and you'll work overtime, you know, whether it's a car, the house, jewelry, whatever it is. You'll work overtime. You'll put in all these hours to get that material thing that you desire. I don't care at what cost. I don't care how many hours you have to work, how tired you are when you get there. You will put forth all that effort into getting something materialistic. But when it comes to your spiritual need, oh, well, I'm tired. I was out late last night, so I'm not going to go to church tomorrow. Or, you know, I'm not going to make it to the prayer service. I'm not going to make it to Bible study. See, you have all these excuses when it comes to doing the things of God. But yet, you still want to experience his grace. And I can't help but see how out of order that is. That's so out of order. And that's why I use the analogy of places like, you know, third world countries like Africa and things like that, where you see the miracle signs and wonders happening. Why? Because of the hunger. You know, this is what Jesus said in Matthew. He said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be fed. Those that hunger for it. But if you're not hungry for it, if you just, you know, well, it's Sunday, so, you know, I want to go to church because I want to show off my brand new shoes. I want to show off my brand new dress or my brand new suit. You know, I got the new wig, the new hat. I want to go and, you know, because it's a fashion show. I'm going because I want to be seen. Power in that. There's no grace in that. But these are the things that people look for when they go to church. They're not looking for the movement of God, the power of God. They're not looking to get their breakthrough. They're looking to see who's seeing them. And I'm not talking about all churches. Understand me. I'm not talking about all churches. I'm just talking about the culture of a lot of the churches, the makeup, the dynamic of a lot of churches that are here in this country. Because that's what it's about. That's what it has become. And see, Jesus said, you know, when the disciples was asking him about when the end was going to come and signs of the end of the age, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gave them a whole rundown about, you know, nations against nations and famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. He told them all this stuff. But then he said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. See, and people keep saying, you know, Jesus coming back, Jesus coming back. I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. I know he's coming back. But because this gospel has been watered down, it's not really being preached. People are getting this watered down version. You know why I say watered down? Because, you know, I was a functioning alcoholic at one time in my life. I drank every day. Every day I was drinking. Still functioning. I was functionable, but I was still drinking every day. And it was at the point where the more I drank, the less chaser I would put in the drink. So, you know, you start off with rum and coke. It was more rum than coke. There was more, you know, and I didn't care what you had. You asked me what I was drinking, whatever you got, that's what I drank, whatever you had. And just mix it all together. I don't care, put the gin, the vodka, the rum, the Southern Comfort, put all that in the same glass. That's how I drank. I didn't have one special drink. Whatever you had, that's what I drank. Point is, I had got to the point where I didn't want my liquor watered down. I didn't want to really taste the soda or the orange juice or whatever it is that you was mixing in with it. I wanted straight liquor. So if that's how I was in the world, that's how I'm going to be in church as far as this word is concerned. I'm not going to water it down. I'm not going to water down the word just to make it so that people can digest it easier, make it pleasing to their palate, telling them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. I'm not going to do that because God's grace is not in that. So I have to give it to you, and I say, give me that drink straight, no chaser. That's how I deliver this word. I'm not trying to offend anybody. But if you are offended, that means I just struck a chord that needed to be struck. Why are you offended? If I tell you you living in sin because you living and y'all not married, y'all fornicating, and that hits a nerve with you, that's a nerve that needed to be hit because it's the truth. You living as a married couple, but you're not married. That's fornication. Fornication is a sin. So what am I supposed to do? Not tell you that you live in this sin? If you still stealing, you're a thief. You need to stop. Let him who steals steal no more. That's the word. So I'm not going to water down the word to make people feel good. Because like I said, God's grace is not in that. And I live in the grace of God. I live in it. I walk in God's grace. I walk in it. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect because I'm not. I'm not a perfect man, nor will I ever be. But the Christ who lives in me is perfect. And because I allow him to live in me, you hear what I say? I allow him because that's your choice. You can choose to allow him to live in you or not. But because I choose to allow him to live in me, I continue to experience his grace. I continue to experience it, and I look forward to experiencing his grace. So when it comes time for me to minister on Sundays or minister on this broadcast, or my wife does rooms on Clubhouse, and I go into certain rooms and I partake, and they ask me to up on a stage and you know, ask me my insight or my opinion, I'm able to give it from a pure standpoint. Not because I'm title seeking. And you have a lot of people who are now out here who are title seeking. They're seeking titles. They want to be known as prophet this or apostle that. And you ain't leading nobody. Just foolishness. And see, and I don't even want to get started on that. Because there's too much foolishness going on out here in the name of God, in the name of Jehovah, that he ain't even a part of. He hasn't even sanctioned it. So therefore, I'm not even going to be a part of it. All right, so listen, we're going to take another break. Come on, Brother O, hit us with that next track.
We're on our way to the New Jerusalem.
Get ready to go.
All right, we almost about ready to pack it up. Hey, listen, we're back here with the Works of God talking about God's unlimited grace. You know, it is something, if you've never experienced it, it is something that will blow your mind. You know, Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse 3, God says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you have not known. Things that you have not known. And then Jesus was in, you know, he's ministering. He says, you have not because you ask not. But when you do ask, you ask amiss. So that means the things that you're asking for are things that you really shouldn't be asking for. Because you ask for things that's going to satisfy your earthly desires, your natural lusts. That's the things that people ask for. And that's why I said you don't really see the power of God moving like we should, because our motives and our intentions are just off. They're not God-centered. They're you-centered. They're me-centered. Because you're worried about stuff, about how people see you, how people are going to treat you. You know, these are the things that should never be a part of your concern. But yet, that's what it's about. Over here in this country. And when I say that, I'm not saying that to knock our country. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying we need to have we need some enlightenment. We need to have our eyes of understanding opened, you know, so that we can know what God wants from us. What not even so much what he wants from us, because that we know. But how is it that I can be in tune with God? That's what I really need to know. How can I be in tune with him so that I can start experiencing his grace and his goodness on this constant basis? That's just really doing what Jesus told us to do. He said, if you want to follow him, he said, deny yourself. That's first and foremost. Deny yourself. Stop worrying about, you know, what you're going to get out of it. That's, you know, when Jesus talked about that rich young ruler who came to him and said, you know, teacher, what must I do to be saved? And he said, listen, you know the commandments, honor your mother and father. You know, he said, listen, I've done all that since my youth. Well, Jesus said, well, one thing you haven't done. I know you did all of that, but there's one thing you haven't done. He said, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and then come follow me. He said, the rich young ruler went away sad because he had many possessions. Only thing he heard was that you want me to be poor. And that's not what Jesus was telling them, but that's what he heard. And because he heard that, the Bible says he walked away and he was sad. He was upset because he put more value in the things that he owned instead of putting his trust in God. Let me tell y'all something. Your God is whatever you serve the most. That's who your God is. If it's your job, you chasing after the dollar. It could be a person. You chasing after that woman. You chasing after that man. That's who has become your God. Because that's what you look to serve the most. For some people, it's sports, it's gambling, it's drug addiction, it's alcohol addiction. You chase after that drink. You chase after those drugs. That drug has become your God. And because it's become your God, you don't see. How many of you, like I said, you know, I was out there, I've done the drugs. I've been down that road. I've done the drinking, been down that road. But doing the drugs and drinking, I never experienced the grace. The grace that I experienced from it was that it didn't take my life. but there was no other benefit to chasing after that stuff. There was no benefit. I lost more money than I was gaining because I was spending money to chase after that stuff. So we have to wake up, people. We got to wake up. We got to go after God's grace to be willing to say to ourselves, you know, I don't have it all. I don't have it all. I don't know it all. But I know who does. And that's the one I'm going to go after. We'll be back when the work is done. Unlimited grace here on The Work Is Done. Let's go back to the phone lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, good evening, Pastor Perry. How are you? This is Chinchilla Jonesia. How are you tonight?
Hey, Miss Chinchilla. I'm great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine. I love your topic tonight. And I really love the Book of Corinthians. That's one of my favorite books of the Bible. And your topic is, you know, about God's grace. And His grace is definitely sufficient. And when we look at that particular scripture in verse 9 and 10, I think that's what it said in the post, you know, God talks about His strength being made perfect in our weakness. And mm-hmm. we all go through different trials and tribulations. And in spite of all of that we go through, God's grace is still sufficient. And He keeps us, you know, for those that want to be kept, you know, He keeps us. And, you know, there are some people that just don't want to be kept and they just want to go out and use every excuse under the sun to sin because of problems or things they're going through. So they'll use that as a cop-out or an excuse to turn away from God. And we cannot do that. We have to realize that, you know, Jesus was persecuted and He went through, I can say hell. He definitely went through hell here on earth. And a lot of us go through hell here on earth. And some people they can't cope. And the reasons they can't cope is because they're not putting God first in their lives. They're not trusting in Him. Instead of trusting Him, they're leaning to their own understanding. Whereas I think in Proverbs 3 or Psalms 3, 5 and 6, think that's the scripture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that we can't lean to our own understanding, but we have to acknowledge God and allow Him to direct our path. So if we acknowledge Him in the times of trouble and in the times that we're discouraged, instead of trying to seek advice from so many different people and the wrong people that really don't have a life centered around God, people ask the wrong people for advice. And we have to seek God and pray and look for Him for direction. And He will definitely direct us and lead us and guide us in all things. But we just have to seek Him in all things. And, you know, I go through stuff. Everybody goes through stuff. But we have to realize if we have God in our lives, no matter what we're going through, He's going to bring us through it because He brought us to it and He's going to bring us through it. And that He is our strength. And if we have joy in the Lord, as the Bible also says, the joy of the Lord is my strength, then no matter what we're going through, if we have that inner joy that only God can give, then we're already strengthened in Christ. And so I thank you for this show tonight and talking about God's grace. Thank you so much, Pastor Perry.
Amen. Thank you also for calling in. And I want to touch on some of the things that she said, because number one, she said that, you know, for those, God will keep you if you want to be kept. If you want to be kept, God will keep you. And here's the thing when you're talking about God's grace, because she also said if God brought you to it, He'll bring you through it. But when He brings you through it, why is it you wait till you get through your problem to then turn away from God? You turn to Him because you needed to get through. But once you got through, you went right back. And see, and this is why people stay in trouble. This is why people always find themselves, and they ask themselves, how come I'm always in this problem? How come all this stuff keep happening to me? Because you keep making the same choices. And the choice that you keep making is to walk away from God. After He's already brought you through. And listen, I'm guilty of that. I'm so guilty of that. Early on in my walk, you know, and being brought up in church and raised in church, you know, we ran to the altar every week. I know Brother Oak can attest to that. We felt as though we had to get saved every week because that's all church was about, fear, going to hell. But then once you got understanding, it's like, okay, now that I've come to Christ and I go out and I still think I can do what I want, live how I want, say what I want. all this stuff. And then I go out and I do it, and I find myself right back in the dirt. He done cleaned me up, washed me up, made me clean, white as snow. But yet I went back out there, and I chose to go back and play in the mud. That's what happens. We come to God to get cleaned up, and then right when we cleaned up, we go right back outside into the dirt. How many of y'all had kids, and you tell your kids, listen, you know, we about to go somewhere, and what you tell them? You better not get dirty. How many of you remember your parents saying that to you? We get ready to go somewhere, you better not get dirty. See, God, you know, he's almost like he's saying that to us, I cleaned you up. But he doesn't tell us you better not get dirty, because he leaves that choice up to us. It's our choice whether we want to go out there, stay clean, or get in the dirt. Come on, brother. I knew I was going to get you. Come on.
Well, first of all, you know, I always bring through my testimony in soundtrack. And what the brother said is true. You know, with the church, a lot of times for me, coming as a kid, you know, it was always, you know, the fashion show, you know, what new gaiters I had. You know what I mean? You touched on a real good one there, Pastor. You know, hey, I'm the fly person in the church. Boom, boom, boom. I'm going to get these girls, blah, blah, blah. I'm not thinking about church was more of a meeting place for me than total worship and salvation. But I remember a time in my life when I had to come to myself and say, hey, you better testify in what God has done for you. And there's only one song that I can, you know, perform to you guys on the Wheels of Steel. It comes from a fellow Californian by the name of Howard Hewitt. And I believe this is my testimony tonight.
Second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. Thank you.
You God for giving me one more chance. You know, some of us are on our 10th, 20th, 50th chance, but sometimes you got to say enough is enough. And stop going back out into the dirt. Hey, listen, you know, tonight we talked about God's unlimited grace. I want to thank everybody who took the time to call in. And even though I know a lot of you sat and listened, and that's okay, because, you know, for me, it's always good when you have people who call in and you know, they want to have their comments. But for those of you who are listening, I know you heard something tonight that pricked your spirit. That's important to me, because now you're contemplating on making a change. You heard something tonight that made you say, man, I might need to do something different, because I have allowed God's grace to clean me up. Why is it that I choose to go back into the mud? So, you know, just don't walk away from it. Don't discard it, because what you're feeling, what you're hearing, can change your life for the better. So we're going to bring on Brother O, because it's now time for Ngozi.
Well, first of all, I want to thank all the folks that counted on Robbie tonight to listen to our resident pastor here at WBNN. It's so important. It's so important to understand God's grace and his will for you. And I'm going to do something that's going to be unorthodox before I go into Ngozi time, but I'm going to do that in a moment. What has God done for you? Has he given you the opportunity to live and be bountiful and prosperous? And then, you know, you forget that once he takes you out, gives you a deliverance? That's the thing that really hit with me tonight with Pastor Perry. Stop using the will of the Almighty as your crutch, as your footstool. No, because after a while, you're going to be like Peter and the wolf. Wolf is here. They come running. The wolf is here, and they come running. But that third time, the wolf really came. So don't allow the wolf to come into your life. Before I go into Ngozi time, we'll ring back on Pastor Perry for the invitation to discipleship. And then after that, Ngozi time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you brought me in on that. That was awesome. Because you said we use God's grace as a crutch. And we only use it till we feel as though we don't need the crutch anymore. And then we sit it down. When you allow God to be God in your life, he becomes more than a crutch. Comes the strength that you need in your weakness. So for those of you that are out there and you're just listening, you're just hearing, And that word is speaking to you, because you realize what you heard tonight is the truth. I'm not sugarcoating it. I'm not trying to get you emotionally stirred up. I'm trying to get you to hear the truth of the need that you have for a Savior. So that's you tonight, wherever you are. It doesn't even matter. You don't have to be in the church building. Wherever you are, Jesus is available to you right now. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, God is faithful. He's done what he said. He honors his word. Will you honor yours? Will you honor your commitment? Now that you have been cleansed, don't wallow back in the mud. This is Pastor Kev. The work is done.
Well, first of all, we're going to let him off the hook that quick, but I just want to make sure that everybody understands, you know, that God is, you know, strong and mighty. And I grew up in a church that had a very, very outstanding prevalent choir. And one of the songs that my mother loved very, very deeply, going back into the Psalms, you know, the Lord strong and mighty. He should be the king of your life. He should be. A lot of times, Pastor Perry, they're not. You know, they don't understand that God is able to keep you from falling and also to present you faultless to the throne of grace. What makes you strong? Adversities. That was makes you strong. There's nothing else that we should be worrying about but the strength that going through hard times give you. You know, it's easy to praise God when you're in comfort. So easy. My dad taught me that. Because when you have the will to win, you know, the will to be better than when you were yesterday, and to fight through that adversity for, you know, just to get that gold on earth. Because we already know we're going to have a crown when we get to the higher level. But getting to the goal to get to gold on earth. I want to thank also great people that called in tonight. The 2019 National Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Enshrinee and 2021 Lifetime Achiever, Ms. Jerry Petito. And, of course, our Deputy Commissioner and 2021 Linear New Host of the Year, the Sony Griffin Award-winning Chinchilla J. Is the Lord strong and mighty for you? I must play this before I go into the ghosty time. Advertising can wait.
We're putting this back on album again live in memory of our brother, Burnett Cookie Miller. And right now, 70 each coming this way. We're sitting in the car and we just start singing this little song. The Lord. Somebody let us tell him he's the king. Jeffrey, you ought to have something to say about that. Testify.
In your life tonight? Are you sure? The invitation is given. Hearken and harden not your heart. WBNNS advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We are Ngozi Time at Twitter and Instagram, also Pinterest. And on Facebook at Ola Dele Malay Ngozi. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight? oledele@my.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, O.M. Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all our listeners at Armed Force Radio Networks. Join us and in for Sunday's program, News Forum with Chinchilla J at WBNN 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Of course, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com to listen at Ngozi Time. Put that in the search. Let's end our programming tonight with the Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry for his last and final comments in the next 2 minutes.
Hey, listen, yeah. God is awesome. And I just want everyone to experience the awesomeness like we have. You know, we talk about it. We talk about our experiences. We talk about the things that we've gone through. And more importantly, we talk about the fact that we realized we were in need of something greater than ourselves. And that's God. And God is the great I am. He's the strong tower. I minister to you guys out of love because I want you to live eternity with God. That's what I want for you. That's my desire. So this is why we take the time to do what we do here at, you know, WNB. This is why we do these kind of broadcasts, why we do The Work Is Done. When he told me about, you know, man, I got this show that, you know, I'm looking for a pastor, I looked at it as an opportunity to reach you, the person that's listening tonight. I do this to reach you so that you can hear that God loves you. He wants the best for you, and so do I. That's why we do The Work Is Done.
It makes me very happy tonight that my family is here singing and praying with me. And at this time, I would like to introduce to you my brother, Reverend Cecil Franklin.
It is my task to have a few comments. And I thought about a passage of scripture, the Gospel according to St. Mark, 16th chapter and the 15th verse, where we are challenged to go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. You know, there is a unique advantage in preaching the gospel using the vehicle of song. For songs have the advantage of being packaged and wrapped in universal appeal. Songs are not limited by natural or human boundaries. The gospel through song is universally comfortable, for it is not hindered by local, state, or national boundaries. Not hindered by racial, economic, political, or religious preferences. Songs are clothed with the ability or capacity to successfully and confidently meet the challenge of the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach my gospel unto every creature. Songs are in a position to confidently answer that challenge. And therefore the gospel through song accepts the challenge and responds joyfully, praising the name of Jesus. And therefore we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. We come tonight carrying on that same tradition. We come not blazing new trails or pioneering new paths. We come treading the same familiar tracks, telling the world that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We come telling the story of Calvary. We come telling the world how God hung, how he bled, and how he died, and how he was resurrected. We come telling the world of the joy of eternal life through Jesus Christ.
And we come once again to dedicate our lives to continuing to sing the songs of Zion. We thank God for Aretha and for every individual that responded in making this effort possible. Her Christian commitment to carry the gospel to every creature is unquestionable. And you know, we all have our favorite songs of praise and celebration. I don't know what yours may be. It may be, "I love the Lord, he heard my cry and pitied my every groan. Long as I live while trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne." Your song might be, "Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh, where shall I go? It may be peace with heaven as I go through this wilderness.